look at the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now this verse tells me something. I wonder if it does you. It tells me something in a convincing way, and that is that the only way to be children of God is to be led by the Spirit of God. The Word of God says it is not in man that walketh to direct his own way. I was thinking, Don said here in some of his remarks at the closing of the Sunday school exercise of last Sunday, he said that everyone's chief priority should be to get to heaven. And I agree with that. I believe we all ought to have our hearts and minds set right on that. Amen. And our eye on the goal and the prize at the end of the race out there. And just keep our eye right there and keep moving in that direction. But now the leading of the Spirit of God is important in this too. If we were to be left to our own way, we would miss the way. But the things that happen to us in life are God's way. We might call them just adjustment or correction of course in our lives to lead us on in a way that will get us where we want to go. And if we want to go to heaven, God's going to lead us in the way that will get us to heaven. Amen. I go on the theory all the time that God loves every one of us and He wants us all in heaven, and He will get us there if we'll let Him. If we'll just abandon ourselves and turn ourselves over to God to steer our little bark and to lead us in the right way of life, He'll get the last one of us to heaven in the end. In the 78th Psalm and verse 72, we have a text like this. It says, so He fed them according to the integrity of His heart and guided them with the skillfulness of His hand. Now, that's a wonderful text right there. I hope we'll all think on that a little while. He guided them with the skillfulness of His hand. The hand that is guiding you and me, I see a painting, a picture is called The Pilot. And here is a young fellow at the helm of the ship. And there are the boisterous waves out there, and here's the rocks all around, and there's a port in there somewhere. And in a kind of a shadowy figure right behind him and leaning over his shoulder is Jesus, and He's pointing the way. There's the harbor right over there. Now we need Jesus to guide us. And in all the confusion that there is in this world today, and the many snares and traps and pitfalls and deceptions that the enemy has set for every one of us, and we're going to be caught in one of them if we don't hold on to this skillful hand of the Lord Jesus to lead us in and out and around and through all of those things. That's the only way we're going to make it and get there is to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Amen. And they're the only ones that are the children of God. Nobody ever found his own way into the kingdom of God. We had to be guided in there. You and I had to be guided in there. And if we hadn't have been guided by the hand of the Lord, we'd have never found our way into the kingdom of God. The psalmist said in the 37th Psalm, he said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Now the psalmist said that, and somebody else down the line further said, "And the stops too." The steps and the stops, the goings and the waitings, they're all ordered by the Lord. And the Lord leads us sometimes to go, and sometimes He leads us to wait. And sometimes to go this way, and sometimes to go in that way. But however it is, it's all important that we be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the Lord leads in some very strange ways, some very mysterious ways, and some ways that we don't understand. But if we'll follow Him, we'll understand later on. It may be just like going in the dark. And many times people who walk by faith, they're taking steps in the dark, so to speak. They can't see just what the next step's going to be or how things are going to turn out. But when it's all turned out, we can see that the way the Lord led us was a good way. Amen. One person said that there were some things that they hadn't been able to see and understand that the saints believed in and taught and practiced, but they said they decided that they should obey and submit, and said as they did, as they walked through the door, so to speak, it just opened up to them. As they obeyed, it became clear to them. And I believe that is true, or has been true, of every one of us. That as we followed on, we begin to see things that we didn't see before. Amen. The Word of God said, "In thy light shall we see light." And as we walk in the light, more light opens up to us. And as we act upon the understanding that we have, we acquire a clearer understanding of God's will and way for us. Yeah. Now he said in the 9th chapter of Mark in the 2nd verse, says that after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart. Did you know that if you will allow the Lord to lead you, He will lead you into the high mountain apart more times than the most of us go there? Now you may call it the secret closet. Jesus called it that. Enter into your closet, shut the door. You may call it your place of devotion, private prayer, whatever. But it's a place where people go and shut the world out and shut the confusing things and the strifes and so on out of their hearts and minds, concentrate and linger there in quiet meditation and holy devotion before God until God's will is made clear to them, and the picture of Christ-likeness is revealed to them and they open their hearts to that. Impression is made on the fleshly tables of their heart that's equivalent to the film of the camera. A picture is taken and God has His own developing process by which He just brings out and reproduces that picture, and it's a reproduction of Christ-likeness, the Christ life. He would lead you and me into the high mountain apart, the secret closet, your place of private devotion, whatever you want to call it. He will lead you there more than what most of us go there. It will just be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, when they got up there in this place where He led them, there were some things transpired there that never did transpire before. And Christ was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the light, and His raiment became transparent. And I don't know what you think, but I say that He took on His glorified form right there before those disciples and was revealed to them in a way that He never had been revealed to them before. Now, they had been with Him and they had saw Him and they had seen Him in the happier days of His ministry, and they had seen Him heal the sick and cast out the devils and cleanse the lepers and open blind eyes and make lame men walk and heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases. That's victory. That's glory. That's grace. But He appeared to them in a different way than He had ever appeared to them before in the high mountain apart. If you want to see Christ as He really is, if you want to get a real vision of the King in the glory, and behold Him in His Christ-likeness, like He wants you and me to be, let Him lead you into the high mountain apart, your secret closet, the place of your private devotion and prayer before Him. And as you linger there in holy devotion and quiet meditation before Him, He will be revealed to your soul in a very real sense. Now, Jesus led these folks up there that He might be revealed to them in His glory, and that His glory might be a reality to them. There is a kind of glory about the Lord Jesus Christ that is manifest in the healing of the sick and the raising of the dead and the casting out of the devils. There's a different kind and a different type of glory that was revealed to these men in the high mountain apart. And that's the vision that we need to see. That's what we need to get in our hearts and in our minds. We have lots of healing of the sick in the world today, and purportedly casting out devils and different kinds of things being wrought, but sometimes those things are wrought by men who don't have very good success in the humble walk with God and living victoriously and triumphantly for Him. But the glory that we want to see and that we need is something beyond that. It envelops that, it involves that. But this type of glory that Peter and James and John saw in the Mount of Transfiguration was something way on out beyond that, and actually didn't have anything to do with that. It was just a different type and kind of glory. And God wants to lead you and me by His Spirit into those places and those experiences and those conditions that will make Him more real to us, where He can be revealed to our soul in a more real and more personal and more definite way than he can under the ordinary circumstances of life. But we can't find that way. The Spirit of the Lord has to lead us into that way and into those experiences and those times where that Christ can be revealed to our souls in a greater way than he is under the ordinary circumstances of life and become more real and more personal to us.
Amen.
If there is anything that Christ wants more than anything else out of you and me, it's a personal relationship with us, an intimate relationship. And he will lead us into those experiences and places and conditions and things that will create that kind of a bond and that kind of a relationship between your soul and him if you'll just follow where he leads you. In the 61st Psalm in verse 2, he says, "When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that's higher than I." Oh, folks, many times our hearts are overwhelmed within us. Sometimes with grief, sometimes with joy. Our hearts become overwhelmed. But the prayer of the psalmist, he realized that in the time of overwhelming experiences, that there was a danger that he might not remember the Lord, might not trust in him, so he said, "Lead me to the rock that's higher than I." And I would say to you that in the time when you're overwhelmed with joy, you're more likely to miss that relationship with Christ than in the time when you're overwhelmed with grief. Strange, isn't it? It certainly is, but there's something about us that just can't stand too much joy. It seems like it has a tendency to carry us away somewhere or other, while grief will melt our hearts and break our spirits and humble us down and cause us to draw nigh to God. But however our overwhelming experiences are, whether it be grief or whether it be joy, the psalmist said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me close to you in those experiences that overwhelm me." When we're overwhelmed with good fortune and with joy and excitement and so on, it seems if we don't watch and aren't careful at those points that we will be inclined to become more self-sufficient and to trust in our good fortune and the things that are coming our way than in the Lord. The psalmist realized this, and he said, "You be there to lead me. When things are happening to me that overwhelm me, either with grief or joy, be there to lead me to yourself, to the rock that is higher than I." And we're likely, very likely, to miss the mark at those points in life if we fail to be led by the Spirit of God. In the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, in verse 16, there's a very interesting thing here. It says, "I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Well, you say that doesn't apply to me. I'm not blind. He's talking about what he's going to do for the blind. But I'm not blind. So I don't need that. Well, God help you if you're not. Said down here in verse 19, who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Now, I say that you and I need very much to just go blind. I read about a man in London. London is noted for its fog, dense fog. This man was trying to find the post office. He had a letter to mail, and he couldn't see where he was going, and he bumped into a man on the street. He begged the man's pardon, but he said, can you tell me how to get to the post office? The man said, yes, I can take you to the post office. Just hold on to my arm and go with me. So the man went down the street to a corner and turned and went up a part of a block there and stopped, and he says, now you're right in front of the post office. Just go up the steps to your right and you'll go right into the post office. Well, the man thanked him for his courtesy and his help, but said, I'd like to know about this, how you find your way around in this fog. Well, he says, it doesn't bother me the least bit. Says, I'm blind. Says, I don't see anyway. Well, we're in the midst of mist and fogs and confusions and deceptions and everything in this world. But if we can just be blind enough, the Spirit of the Lord can just lead us. Amen. Right on into the place of light and truth. He said, I'll make darkness light before them. If he can get a hold of any soul and lead that soul, he'll lead them out of darkness into light, and out of crooked things into straight places. The ways of the Lord are straight, and he'll just lead us into the straight places if he can get a hold of us and lead us. And he said, I will lead them by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. You ever had any strange experiences? You ever been in any place you didn't understand what was happening? Or how things were going with you, or how things would work out with you? Strange territory. I thought like this, you and I just kind of get a beaten path. And if we're not careful, we'll just kind of mill around in our beaten path and in our territory, just familiar territory, and we'll begin to feel self-sufficient. I know my way around here. And like somebody said to one brother, said, I don't need the Lord, I have a mind of my own. And we'll just get to thinking in our own channel and going around our beaten path. Well, the Lord has a way to overcome that. If we'll let him lead us, he'll lead us out of that beaten path into some strange circumstances and conditions that we're not familiar with and never been in any situation like that before, and we'll feel kind of stranded. We need somebody to help us out here. I knew a woman that she had lived in the same house for a good number of years, and she knew all around that house and everything there and so on. And the time came when she began to lose her eyesight. Well, she still knew where everything was. Just go on and take care of everything. Finally, she had totally lost her eyesight. People would come in and want to help her. No, just leave things alone. I know where everything is. And she'd get around her house. She'd prepare her meals. She'd do whatever needed to be done there because she knew every nook and corner of that house. And she knew just where to go and where to find things and what to do. And she said, just leave things alone now and I'll take care of things here. But they come over to our house once in a while. Somebody bring her over there. When she got over there, she didn't know every nook and corner of our house and all the way around, and she had to have somebody lead her around there if she wanted to go to any other part of the house or anything. Well, the Lord wants to break you and me loose from our self-sufficiency and our self-dependence and everything, and we're just used to going around here, and I can take care of things here. I know my way around here. But he'll get us out there somewhere where we don't know our way. Lead us out there where we'll recognize the need of somebody taking us by the hand and leading us around. I don't know my way around out here. Going to lead you in some strange places. Sometimes we get panicked at strange places, unusual circumstances and conditions, but we shouldn't. We should just recognize the Lord has brought me out here to help me to see that I need Him to take me by the hand and lead me around. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And folks, let me tell you something. They're the only sons of God there are. And the psalmist David said in the 27th Psalm, verse 11, he said, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Did you not know that we are walking all the time in the midst of enemies? We're in enemy territory. All the time there are enemies on every side. Sometimes enemies are people. Sometimes enemies are circumstances and conditions. Sometimes it's just plain the devil himself. Sometimes that's one thing and another. But we're walking in the midst of enemies all the time. And we need to recognize that and just seek the Lord to lead us in a plain path. Lead me clearly. The psalmist said, an enemy out there, he says, when my foot slips, he magnifieth himself against me. You've heard often, I'm sure, of the old saying, making a mountain out of a molehill. Well, that's what your enemy will do to you. And that's what the devil will do to you. Just make a mountain out of a molehill, a great big thing out of a little nothing. The devil will do that. When my foot slippeth, and maybe I wasn't even aware my foot slipped, maybe I did slip a little and offended somebody, committed some kind of an offense, and I wasn't even aware of it, but the enemy just takes that and builds that up in that person's mind, and the first thing I know in their mind, I'm a bad man. Just don't associate with that fella. He's a bad man. just magnified a little something that he didn't even know happened, wasn't even conscious of or aware of. Oh, you say he ought to be aware of something like that. Well, maybe you're the only one that's aware of it because you were touchy. You were kind of touchy and temperamental and so on, and it affected you in a way that it shouldn't have affected you. But the enemy, well, take a little something and make it great big. So the psalmist knew that. He said, just lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. The wise man Solomon said, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Don't you know we'd all be a lot better off if we did that? If we just thought things out before we said something or did something, took some kind of action, we just thought things out, we pondered the path of our feet, that step we were about to take, we wouldn't make as many blunders as we do. We wouldn't offend as many people as we do. We wouldn't miss the mark as often as we do in our good intentions and our good purposes if we just kind of weigh things out. Now, how's this going to affect somebody? How's this going to sound if I say this? Just like this. Or if I do a certain thing, how's that going to affect people? Sometimes we wouldn't say what we were expecting to say or do what we were expecting to do. Lead me in a plain path, a pondered path, a thought out path, a way that is clear, a way that is distinct, and let my ways be established. Amen. Folks, our ways are just not going to be very established unless we learn to let the Lord lead us. And if He leads us by His Spirit, our ways will be established. And He will lead us in ways of truth and in ways of righteousness. Amen.